Okay, this morning turn over to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. Let's hear the word of God. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Again, Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing on the word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture to us. Open our hearts and our minds to receive it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot going on in the world these days. You know, a lot of things are happening. And there's wars here and fights there and, you know, spitballs here and there. You know, people doing what they do. If you allow it, there's a lot of things in this life that can make you afraid. You know, what kind of fears do people have? What stops you from driving down the highway at 100 miles an hour? What is it that stops you from that? What is it that keeps you from laying your hand on a hot stove? Well, usually it's fear. Fear of some kind. Fear from a deeply held conviction that you don't like pain. No, we don't like pain. We don't want the financial pain that's associated with receiving a traffic ticket. We don't want that. We have enough other bills. We have enough other things that go on. We don't want to pay the government a little extra, you know, just for the privilege of racing down the highway. We don't want the physical pain associated with burned flesh. That's just no fun at all. You know, sometimes you turn the burner off and you forget that you just had it on and it's still hot and you don't, it doesn't take long to remember. You know, just lay it down there real quick. Those things. In those instances, you see, sometimes fear is a good thing. It keeps us from injury. As believers in Christ, as children of God, we are to have a healthy fear of the Almighty. Not where you panic and say, oh no, what's he going to do to me now? But we have a deep reverence for him. And we understand that he could, by simply not thinking of you anymore, cause your existence to cease. Those things, those are good kinds of fears. But, you know, very often the fears that we have are not so good. Sometimes fear is such an intense thing that it cripples us for a moment. It paralyzes us. It can provoke you to sin. You can do things you wouldn't normally do because you're afraid. And often keeps us from receiving a blessing. And every single one of us, every living human being has a susceptibility to that. That bad or negative kind of a fear. Now, my text is in Proverbs, but I'm going to spend a lot of time in Numbers 13 this morning. Numbers 13 tells the story of Israel coming to Canaan, and Moses is getting ready to send some spies in. Now, God had long before made a covenant with Abraham and promised him a land for his people. And not just any old land, a good land, a rich land, a land described as flowing with milk and honey. That's just to signify how good of a land that it was. And the people obviously had heard of this covenant. They'd heard of this promise and had been working towards that for years and years and years. And they desired to possess that land. They had a strong desire to possess that land. They had spent, what, 435 years in Egypt? And God miraculously brought them out. He leads them through a wilderness, day in and day out, in a miraculous way. In the daytime, he presents himself as a cloud, and they follow him that way. In the nighttime, he presents himself as a pillar of fire, and they follow him that way. This doesn't happen every day. You know? This is miraculous from our perspective. And God does that. And now, when we get to Numbers 13, after some hardships, and indeed after some rebellion, he brings them to the edge of their destiny. And the Lord says to Moses, send some spies into the land to scope them out. Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. Now, we know that God is a God of miracles. You know, and it's a funny thing. It's only miracles to us. For God, it's no big deal. It's just how he is. For us, when we consider miracles, those are things that, like, wow, you know. One minute I've got a sardine and a loaf of bread, and the next minute I got a big basket full. You know, that just don't happen. Can you imagine how cheap how low your grocery bill would be if you could perform those miracles every day, right? I just opened my last can of beans, and I went to the thing, and then, oh, there's another dozen cans of beans. And I hate beans, but no, I don't. Yeah, you know, kind of a thing. God does miracles. But when God moves through men, God usually carries out his plans by means, you know. God doesn't just miraculously, he could, but he doesn't. I think, a plan of his to cause us to trust him more, to motivate us that way. So he usually uses means to carry his work out. And he very easily could have taken this land of Canaan promised to Abraham and simply vacated it. You know? There would have been no big deal for God to do that. Just, hey, the land's empty, guys. Just go in and take it. But he didn't do it that way. He didn't do it that way. His method was for Israel to go in and take the land. Now, here's the thing. It's already promised to you. All you got to do is take it. Of course, the people that were there already, they weren't real happy about the idea of you coming in and taking it. But this was God's order. This was God's method. This was God's plan. So, Moses. Now here's something else, too. These guys are going through the wilderness. Whatever their work was when they were in Egypt, you know, some of them might have been stone cutters or what, you know, whatever. They had some agriculture background, obviously, because they had grown crops and those kinds of things. I don't see in the scriptures where any of them were trained military men. They were just guys, you know. And they bring them through, God brings them through the wilderness, brings them through all this place, and he comes and he says to Moses, all right, right now, I want you to get some guys together, and we're going to send them in to spy out the land. You ever been a spy? No. Well, you know the first thing about spying? You know? I don't know. You know, it's not like Moses. Now, Moses chooses a guy from all the tribes, so he's got 12 spies. And it's not like he goes and he hands each one a trench coat, some sunglasses, and a fedora so they can go in and spy out the land. You know? I mean, that's what we think of spies, right? He didn't do that. We don't think about that, really. You know? Maybe I'm just a nut. Because I'm thinking about these are people with no experience doing this and being asked by God to go in and do something. And they're willing to do it. Moses chooses them and they're all willing to go. Now, having not attended the official spy school, so you get all the lessons on what it is a spy is supposed to do, Moses, by the grace of God, gives them some things to look for. He says, see if the people are strong or weak. See if there are few or many. How do they live? Are they set up in tents in there, or have they established strongholds that need to be taken? And by the way, what's the condition of the land? You know, we've come all this way. God has led us. And you guys need to go in and find out, really, what's the condition of the land? Is it fertile? Are there trees? Do they have woods in there? Do they have a place that we can get timber for building? And how's the ground? Is it productive? Is there a lot of fruit available to us? I mean, so we can go in and just eat. And he said, and by the way, bring some back. You know, bring us some samples. Yeah. We like samples, right? Everybody likes samples. Yeah. There are some people, I don't even know if they do it anymore. But I know some of these places, grocery stores, you could go in, and there were always one or two little like kiosks where people were giving you samples of their food. And I've known people in the past that's all they did was they hit the store so they could go sample all the food, you know, and that's a great lunch, you know, if you want to make the tour kind of a thing. But, bring back some of the stuff that they've got growing in there. So, this is their basic training. This is the spy basic training. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin. I'm in verse 21. Wilderness of Zin, as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron and Ahiman and Shishai and Talmai. The descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they carried it between two of them on a pole. They've been instructed to go in and do these things. And what? If you're asked to do something that you've never done before, but you kind of want to do it, what is it that goes on inside of you? Is there some excitement about doing something new? And is there maybe a little anxiety about doing something new? Never done that before. I want you to come in tomorrow. We're going to do a brain surgery. And hey, that's really great. That'll look great on my resume. But I don't know about that. These guys go into the land and they stay there for 40 days. And they went dutifully about their business. They noted the people who were dwelling there. And they made a special note when they saw the sons of Anak. Why? Because the sons of Anak were big. They were not the economy size. They were just large. They had relatives that would show up from Gath later on when you read Samuel and see David has to oppose one of the relatives. These guys were designed to play basketball before there was such a thing. They were big. And they tended to strike fear naturally into the hearts of men. But these guys saw them and they made a note of it. They found that the ground was very fertile and the crops were lush. They were great. And as we read at the Valley of Eshcol, they harvested a cluster of grapes that required two men to carry them. Now, this was a cluster. This was not, these were not giant-sized grapes. You know, they could have been big grapes, but this was a whole cluster of grapes that were heavy enough that it took two guys to carry. Now, how could they not look around and see all that God had brought them to? And how could they not get a little excited about that? You know, looking at the prosperity that awaited them and have the full knowledge that God has led them to this point, how could they not have any qualms? How could they say, hey, I'm going in there and it's going to be all right and I'm going to enjoy my life and yeah, we're going to praise God forever for this blessing that he's done for us? And you wonder. Their time, the spies' time in the land was over and they were heading back to the camp. What was the conversation like between those guys? Now, I can think of two guys that were saying, hey, how about you guys carrying for a while, you know? But what's going on in there? What's going on in their minds? Were they enjoying the reality of what it was that God had for them? Were they going to be determined to get in there and go after it? Certainly would have been interesting conversation to listen in on. But there was something that was stirring in these guys. Now they come back into the camp. It's like a mini parade kind of a thing, all the way to Moses' tent. And they got a report to him. And I don't have any doubt that as they're walking through, And the people of the land are just watching these guys come back in, carrying the grapes, if nothing else. And they're saying, I never saw anything like that before. Either their eyes are getting wide, their jaws are dropping, you know, all this stuff. And it's like they're following these guys. Can I get a sample? You know, can I pluck a grape off of that vine there or something? So they get to Moses' door. And you can hear them. They're gathered around and there's a little bit of excitement there. But they want to give the boss a good report. You always want to do that. And they'd say, Moses, it was so good. I mean, that land was exactly as what had been described to us. That land it's exciting. It is. It's flowing with milk and honey. It is a prosperous land. And it just, you know, look at the grapes, you know, just look at them. And at this point, everything seems so positive. It seems like everybody's on the same page. Everybody's feeling upbeat. You know, it was a great experience. And I said, hey, Moses is so good, it's so good, but we can't do it. What? You just come in. You start telling me how great everything is. You tell me what a good thing is. God has led us. Never forget this. And now you say you can't do it. They said, "Nah, the people are strong. People are very strong in there, and the cities, they're well fortified and they're big. You know, we're not soldiers out here, and we got to go in and take them. You know, this is not going to be an easy task. I don't see how we can do it. Furthermore." They got giants in there. They got big guys. Excuse me. Big guys with big swords. And they're allowing at this point all the negatives to destroy the positives that they had seen and experienced. The decision that they made was a decision from fear. Excuse me. They were just chickening out because they looked at themselves, they looked at the natural situation, and they said, "We can't do it." Well, all of them except two. Two of the 12 spies did not see it the same way as the other 10. Joshua and Caleb saw the bounty, and more importantly, they believed God. They believed God, not just believed in God or believed about God. They believed Him. God said, "This is yours, you're going to go take it." And they believed Him. This is how we ought to live our Christian lives. Believing God. It's one thing to believe in Him. The scripture says the devils believe in God and tremble. But they don't believe Him. If you want to be successful in your life in whatever that means, it's going to be done because you believe God. You believe what His word says to you. You believe His instruction to you, that He will care for you, that He covers you, and that He brings you along, that He ordains your steps. You believe Him. That's what Joshua and Caleb did. They understood that God led them to the place. God promised the land to them. And God does not lie. So in this instance, in this chapter, Caleb is kind of the spokesman here. And he's saying, "Let's go right now and take it. Let's do it. Whatever negatives are in view, we can overcome them." This wasn't our idea. This was God's idea. We didn't invent this thing. This is God's plan for us. Let's just go do it. But Joshua and Caleb were only two voices against 10. Excuse me. What we see here is one of the great flaws of democracy. Democracy says the majority rules. Well, the majority is not always right. Often the majority is wrong. Do you for a minute believe that there were 81 million voters in 2020? And yet the majority won. Sometimes it's not the right thing. The fear of those 10 spies would prevail, and it would influence the people of Israel to reject God's blessing. God had ordained this for them, and fear caused them to reject it. They were afraid of men. Now, Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare. Do you know what a snare is? It's a trap. It's a noose that's designed to capture a prey. Now, I've never understood how that thing works. I've seen guys, you know, I've seen pictures of guys setting stuff up. I've never fully understood how it works, unless somebody's going to sit there and wait for you and then get you. But it's something designed to catch you and disable you. The fear of man is sin. Israel was sinning by rejecting the blessing of God. And they were afraid of men. And we are not to be enslaved to that. Sin boasts of its strength, and we all encounter that every day, and we know sometimes it wins. Thankfully, because of the grace of God, it doesn't win all the time. And it wins less and less as we grow in grace. But it boasts how strong it is. Did not Goliath, when he came out to fight David, didn't he tell you how great he was? He was a sinful being. He didn't think he had a chance at all of losing that situation. The evil one boasts of his power, which is less than God's. But he wants you to think he's equal to. It disturbs me greatly that there are churches that you can go to where they'll insinuate that the devil has as much power as God. It's not true. It's not true. But he wants you to think it is, and he wants you to be afraid of him in that regard. Men fear for their lives. That fear of losing this life motivates men sometimes to sinful things, to making agreements that they ought not have made. And we forget momentarily that this isn't all there is. This is a precursor. When this body goes in the ground, life begins. A life that never ends begins. Jesus said in Luke 12, he said, do not be afraid of him who can kill the body, and that is all. Fear God who can kill the body and cast the soul into hell. You can't do that on your own. You can't gin up that great, you know, ability to not fear those things, because our natural selves are vulnerable to that kind of thinking. Yet we say to God, help us to overcome these things. Help us to overcome these fears so we don't fall into that sin. Help us, God. Because the Proverbs back in 29:25 finishes this way. Whoever trusts in the Lord, what? Shall be safe. That's what everybody wants, is safety, right? You know? Everybody's asking for safety. Well, we find it in God. We find our safety in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. If we are obedient to God's word, if we follow God's word, just as Israel was following along, if our faith is in Christ alone, then we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. We must go right now and possess what God has given us. He's given us a new life. He's given us a new way of thinking, a new way of acting. And we can do that without fear of what men may say or do. Our trust is in God. Whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. That group of Hebrews did not get, except for Joshua and Caleb, did not get to enjoy the promised land. They did not get to enjoy Canaan because they feared men, and God said, fine, the next generation will go in. Excuse me. God wants to bless you. You let him bless you. You don't fight the blessing because you're afraid of men. And so that's where we go. Our confidence in God, our faith in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,